Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want. Triple M.
What's making news, Roo?
Well, they looks like they've called off the tram turning right onto North Terrace idea, which was a pre-election promise, and Steve Marshall had totally under control.
The Liberal Party is going to fix Labor's tram mess, and we're going to allow the trams to turn right as originally designed.
So it was a pre-election promise, meant to cost $37 million. Their costs have just come back at $117 million to do the right-hand turn. You'd have to wonder how the hell it costs that much, but obviously it does. But you'd have to wonder why they hadn't done the costings before they made that a pre-election promise as well. I don't know how deep they go into all their detail before they say that, but Labor called it off for a reason, and maybe that's why.
Well, yeah, but do you applaud this decision or not, or do you say they don't know what they're doing? Like, I think if they've budgeted 37 and it cost 117, I think they've done the right thing by calling it off.
Yep, I do too, but as I said, Labor called it off because it wasn't viable. Liberal come out and said they'd fix it and make it turn right the way they should. Mm. So they obviously hadn't done their research before they said that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, fair point. Look, I reckon we've already wasted enough oxygen on this. I cannot believe our two parties are blowing about, does a tram turn right or doesn't it?
I know. It's
and then
funny.
I ask the question, what if we were in Melbourne talking about this and you said on radio, the tram can't turn right. Would you be the laughing stock of Melbourne and of the world or not? Mm. How on earth? I mean, I know there are clever people involved in this, like civil engineers.
Can we waste a little bit more oxygen than just to get someone to explain why it costs $117 million or why it's so hard for a tram to turn right?
Why can't you turn right?
Well, you can if you want to pay $117 million.
I can't get my head around this.
I want to know why it costs so much.
Is it not got a right indicator?
That doesn't cost $116 of the $117 million. I'd actually be interested to know what costs so much to make the tram turn right.
Because I'm pretty sure they turn right in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Do you want to do that?
I'll make a phone call to the tram bloke in Melbourne. I'll get back to you.
No, we'll get back to you. I think it's an interesting thing why it's costing so much, but I don't think we should be wasting money either. We haven't got it to waste.
No.
This is interesting. On the back of the big Everest race, which Kieran McAvoy has ridden the winner to the last couple of years, the $12 million, $13 million race in Sydney that they brought in to take on the Melbourne Spring Carnival. Melbourne are now looking at bringing in a new $5 million race, which nearly as much as the Melbourne Cup. What was that worth this year? About six or seven?
Yeah.
In autumn. So Sydney have a big autumn.
I just won't cut it. $5 million. Sydney's is $13 million.
Yeah, but that's in November. This is in March. They're going to bring in one in March, in autumn, in Melbourne.
Is this what they say about blokes that drive fast red cars? I've got a bigger thing than you've got, or what?
Well, Melbourne and Sydney go head-to-head in horse racing. There's no doubt about it. Mm. They're fighting for the top spot. So they want to bring in a new $5 million race in March, and that's going to be over 1,600 metres, and they're trying to target Winx's last run.
Oh, righto. Clever.
So
get all the attention and the publicity.
Yeah, so watch this space.
Now, the other thing, last night I was watching the news on TV, Roo, and I fell off the lounge laughing. I was eating my dinner on my lap, and then this grab of Scott Morrison came on.
It's time to power up PNG right across the country.
While regional leaders gathered in Port Moresby, Scott Morrison drew aside Shinzo Abe, Mike Pence and Jacinda Ardern to announce the four nations would all plunge money into an ambitious project to boost electricity infrastructure in Papua New Guinea.
Now, I just want to appeal to the Japanese, the New Zealanders and everyone else that he's rallied around. Have you looked at our electricity here in Australia? Before you get into bed with ScoMo and start talking about fixing some other nation's electricity and how they're going to power their nation, for God's sake, have a look at Australia at the moment, you idiots.
Yep, I wouldn't be listening to anything at this stage.
Is he serious? I thought he was a comedian, fair dinkum. How about you fix
We can make your electricity the world's most expensive.
Jeez, well, he's kidding, isn't he?
Oh, he should have just taken some candles.
He is going to advise other and help other countries with their electricity.
Yep. How many people do you speak to, seriously? I'm asking questions now because I just thought I had a big power bill. Everyone's power bills are $1,000, $1,500. Like, if you've got a family and If you're bloody lucky enough to have a swimming pool or something, oh. It's just extraordinary.
Mate, I'm getting bar work at night at the moment to pay mine.
It is Friday. And I need a cleaning job too. And they reckon it could go up more. So, ScoMo, bloody fix
us. Don't worry about it. Hey, I'd love to help PNG with everything.
PNG.
But help us first.
Yeah, get our backyard sorted out.
Time to go to the phones. We always do our Monday talk back at about this time every week, Roo.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Okay, boys, how you going?
Yeah, good. Who we got there?
My name's Murray on the Murray.
Hey, I thought it was you, Murray.
How are you?
Well, didn't you recognise the voice I put on most weeks?
Yeah. No, you do. Sorry, Muzzer.
Oh, well, I'm not ringing up for an argument, but, not a good way to start towards the end of the year.
No, that's what I thought.
We just like you to introduce yourself so the people listening know who we're talking to, Murray.
So I thought you didn't recognise who it was.
No, we know you, Muzz.
Time's ticking away, Murray. What have you got for us?
I was talking to Coastline.
Right, Coastline. Why do you call him Coastline?
Oh, most girls think he's attractive and he's rugged in some way.
Oh, right. Rugged Coastline.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway, he was saying, he reckons that, there's not enough entertainment up on the Murray. You get all the blokes that come down and perform and do stuff up there. They sort of go around the Adelaide area, but they don't come up to the waterways up here.
Mm.
Is there anything you can do about it?
Well, what sort of acts are you thinking about? I mean, I know January Rue at Manham just after Christmas. I mean, Barnsley was there last year. Farnsley was there. We get a few good acts like that. Hoodoo Gurus. I mean, who would you like to see, Muzz?
Just the Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls?
Look, we'll put in a word. We'll see what we can do. Do you think they'd pull a crowd on the Murray?
Well, we don't get, we get Farnsley, Barnsley, and you get all of them, and you get the Uncanny X-Men sometimes.
Yeah.
Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
But where's Kylie?
But Kylie's a big international world star, you know. It's going to be hard to get her to play smaller venues, really.
Where's Fergie?
Can you do the locomotion, Muzz?
Mate, I'm not ringing up for an argument.
No, we're just asking you a question. Muzz, we've got to move on. Thank you for calling in, as you always do as well. You're very loyal to us. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, this is John Farnsley.
Oh, Farnsley, we're just talking about you, Farnsley. How are you?
Your ears burning?
mate, I was just listening to Murray, mate. I was just holding on. I don't know what he's on about. We try and provide entertainment for rural Australia a lot of the time, mate.
Yeah.
And Glenn and I, and we work hard at it, sincerely, but that's the reason I'm ringing up, mate.
Yeah.
We've run out of greens.
What do you mean?
Day on.
Well, Murray... Murray makes a good point. You can play on farmlands. You can play. Does anyone have a green?
Yeah, we do it here all the time, a day on the green. Places like Leckenfield Winery.
But what is a green? Try and look it up on Google and find a green.
An expanse of land that we can put a crowd on.
Isn't that called a farm, though, mate?
Well, my farm. All right, I think you're splitting hairs here, Farnsley. We're trying to find you a venue and a gig. I don't think it matters where you play it.
Well, mate... Mate, sincerely, I love you, Blake. I really do. And just if you can find... Glenn Rickens used to look up the yellow pages and the green, and there's nothing there.
All right, we'll try and help you out. We'll try and call it a farm if you like. We'll get back to you.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you, Farnsley. Okay, we'll have another caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Raw Boy. Hello,
hello, Tommy.
Tommy Tai Chi.
You talk about
sperm.
This was in the paper over the weekend, Roo.
I heard that.
Our number one restaurant serves fish sperm on the menu. Is it at your restaurant, Tommy?
You know what we do?
What
we do here, we check the sex of the fish or not, and we decide that the female fish might taste a little bit the same bit sweeter than the male fish.
Right.
But what you do... And when it gets on the plate, you don't know what you eat. So you get male fish, female fish. We serve fish balls,
Fish balls.
And they come from a very big fish.
Right. Thanks, Tommy. All right. We might head down there Friday as we normally do down to Tommy Tai Chi's restaurant.
They're very due for a feed.
Time for one more, Ruth.
Yep. Our last caller on this Monday talkback. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
My name's Gary Anderson. I'm playing the darts.
You're the darts player.
Gary. Have you been following through?
Oh, gee. Now, Gary, for anyone that hasn't caught up with this story, tell us about the massive controversy, Roo, over the weekend.
Well, he's twice world champion, Gary Anderson. Yeah. But to reach the quarterfinals, he played dirty darts with his Dutch opponent, the Wesley Harms. He got beaten 10-2, Wesley, but he said that Gary, after he was throwing his darts, was letting one rip and then walking off and leaving a cloud of odor.
That dirty tactics. Now, Gary, what can you tell us?
You know what? It's called gamesmanship. You know, when they accuse you of doing it, they say you don't do it, but you actually do.
Right.
So you did it.
It's called gamesmanship, you know.
It's called farting.
It's called...
No. They say that you're shooting darts. That's right. It's sort of like rhyming slang.
Yeah.
You're shooting it. And you shoot one. And that's all right, but you know, certainly. But he accused me, you know, and that's not gamesmanship. You do it. And hey, Chris Dittmar, you're a squash player.
Yeah.
You had cardboard up your crack when you played your youngest son there.
I did, to stop the chafing. That's right.
That's right. You can't tell me you used to burst the ball to work. There's no way known you did not fart in a drop shot when you're facing his fart in the button. But
I think I understand what you're saying. I don't know.
But that's right, you did.
Yeah. Well, we might have let the odd one slip, but didn't mean to. I didn't do it deliberately.
So you didn't do it, Gary?
There's no way I did it. There's no way. In the public, I say I not did it. You know what they say? It depends what face. If it's 360 degrees north, you know, and if you face your butt towards him, you know what they say?
What?
180.
Right. Thanks, Gary. He was a Dutch opponent. He could have hit him back with Dutch ovens, couldn't he?
Yeah, exactly right. Right. But anyway, that's what happened in the world of darts over the weekend.
That's all we've got time for, thank God, with our Monday phone in.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Upgrade your Adelaide United experience in the RAA Lounge. Match day hospitality at just $120.
Hey, Roo, the Redbacks are a chance to have a win at the Adelaide Oval. WA need 313 to win. They're 4-for-146. And what about Dan Worrell? What about the game he's had?
Yeah, 7-for in the first innings and 3-for-58 so far in the second. So 10 for the match. A huge effort by him. So let's hope the Redbacks can get over the line. Talking cricket, Shane Warne is not frightened to make a statement. He's just written a book called No Spin, which we had him on here to talk about. Well, he's had a crack at the Australian batsman.
Considering the way Australia are playing at the moment, they're batting, I think their batting's in disarray. Is it something that Graham Hick, the batting coach, has to... The batting's struggling all the time. Cricket Australia, we're seeing directors and board members go. We're seeing coaches and everyone else go. Well, maybe it's time for a batting coach.
Where's he from? South Africa? Hick?
Yeah, he was a Zimbabwean originally. Then he played for England.
And he's coaching Australians batting, and we couldn't... What were we chasing down? 107 in the T20? Couldn't get those. Meanwhile, the senior players are back at Adelaide and Port Adelaide today. Everyone's back and starting to get into it. I think both clubs will be doing 2K time trials to see how their fitness is after the off-season. They all have their times that they have to get, so they have to train pretty hard over the break. And this is all in preparation for next year. Having said that, they've got the draft on this Thursday night as well. Port Adelaide have got picks 5, 10 and 15. Adelaide have got 4 picks, 8, 13, 16 and 21.
Tim Cahill will play his last match for the Socceroos tomorrow night against Lebanon. He's made 107 appearances for Australia. In the golf, I watched a bit of this yesterday. Mexican Abraham Anser won the Australian Open by 5 shots, 16 under at the Lakes in Sydney.
Now I joined some unbelievable names. I was looking at the cup and I'm in obviously great, great company and winning this event, and I'm just extremely happy.
He's a terrific player. It was good watching him yesterday. Hazel Shannon won the 3-day event for the second time over the weekend on Willinga Park Clifford. First rider pairing to win the event twice. What are her strengths, Roo? Hazel?
A very clean jumper.
Is she? Yeah, I thought so. Hey, and tell us about this horse race in Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne want to do another massive horse race. This time in March, they want to have a $5 million calling it the All-Star Mile. So 1,600-metre race, which will be up there with the Melbourne Cup and Cox Plate, which are run in the spring. But they want to do it in March at Flemington to take on the Sydney Autumn Racing Carnival. And they want to try and get Wenks out of Sydney and running in Melbourne. So that will make Sydney siders furious if
that
happens.
That's our look at sports. Real, I want to talk more about this dart story.
Oh, yeah, it's a big story. It's a huge story. World champion story.
Yeah. I mean, when they say, you know, I'd do anything to win, but I mean, you draw the line, don't you?
Well, you don't. You wouldn't use sandpaper.
No.
Well, see, that's too far.
Yeah, yeah.
But if this is right, and Gary Anderson, the two-time world champion, has been caught up in a very, very smelly row at the moment, by the way, too. His opponent, Wesley Harms, has been saying that he was playing his shot and then Gary would drop one, silent but deadly, and then walk off the stage as if nothing had happened.
Yeah.
And Wesley would walk up to try and, you know, get his balance right after he's just had his third pot. And he couldn't breathe. He'd have to take a and then walk up onto the stage and try and just whack that dart right in the bullseye.
Yeah. But it was having to throw it through a cloud. Now, shall we have a listen to Gary?
Yeah, let's have a listen to Gaz.
You can put your finger up there, so there'll be no smell there. I thought he had shit, and I went, that's dirty. It was bad. There was a stink. I thought it was him. And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get some wind out.
Now, what he's saying there, I'll just do the subtitles for you. He's saying that he thought it was his opponent, so they were accusing each other. So it could have been the referee.
Could have been anyone.
And could have been anyone up there.
That's the thing about farting. If they're silent, you just don't know exactly who's done it. When you start throwing accusations around about who's done it, it gets a bit sort of serious, doesn't it, Dids?
At the start that he said, I thought my opponent had pooped himself. That's how bad it must have been up there.
Did he say you can shove your finger up your back? Is
something
that what
like
he said?
Yeah.
Thought he said.
Can we hear him again?
Yeah, please? Let's try and just understand what he really did say.
You can put your finger up there, so there'll be no smell there. I thought he had shit, and I went, that's dirty. It was bad. There was a stink. I thought it was him. And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get some wind out.
It's one of the great controversies in world sport, this is.
Yeah.
The tactics, the lengths you'll go to try and win.
But I don't know about you, Dits, but I've got a bad guts, and
we know.
But it's annoying because you don't want to have it, but sometimes you have it and you can't do much about it. But
so you share it with the rest of us.
Well, what else can you do when you work in a studio like we do?
Listeners, do you know what I go through here every day?
Anyway, happened once at the footy club. I've told this story a couple of times before. It's half a reasonably well-known story. But back in 1993, so we're going back 25 years here now, in the prelim final against Essendon at the MCG, we were 7 goals up at halftime.
Yeah.
Looked like we were on the way to our first grand final, only in our third year in the competition, and we'd had our halftime break. We'd come out and done our warm-up. We'd, you know, run around and done our stretches and everything, and then we're coming in for the just about to break before the start of the third quarter. Yeah. Cornsey was coming out to have a chat to us, and all the boys had come in a circle, put their arms around each other. Yeah. Cornsey start giving us the big speech to fire us up before the start of the premiership quarter, and we're all, you know, in tight with their arms around each other, listening to the Graham intently, and all of a sudden this smell come across the group, and everyone's sort of looking around at the corner of their eyes trying to work out who's, you know, cut the cheese. And no one knew what it was, but even Cornsey started smelling it. And, you know, Cornsey's like, he is very fastidious when it comes to cleanliness and everything. Yeah. So his eyes are all watering, and he said, who did that? No one's put their hand up. He said, anyway, go out and just get the job done. So we broke up in disarray. Everyone's laughing as they walk off. No one knew who did it. Jars misses a goal about 2 minutes later to put us 8 goals in front. He missed it from the top of the goal square. He reckons he couldn't breathe.
He was dizzy.
He was dizzy. And then from there on, Essendon come back and steal the game from us. We lose the unlosable. Can't make the grand final, don't make the grand final, get kicked out, and then don't win a flag for another few years.
Did you get to the bottom of it?
It was Mark It was Mark Bickley.
Bloody Mark Bickley.
The brown nose.
He then goes on to be captain as a result of it.
Never said anything, for 3 years, yeah. Never owned up to it,
yeah,
until we won the flag in 1997 and he was captain.
Mm.
At Joplin's on West Terrace, he put his hand up and said he was the one who farted in the 1993 prelim and cost us the first premiership.
Ends up two-time premiership captain.
Exactly right.
He got rewarded for it.
He knew what he was doing. He did. He shouldn't have, but he did. Wow. That's the truth.
Right. So where have you farted at the most inappropriate time? Or have you used it as a tactic?
Like Gary.
Yeah, like Gary in the World Darts
or
Championship.
Bix, if he was that clever.
Yeah. So he needed to go and stand in the Essendon huddle. That's what he needed to do.
That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
And plenty of blokes have done it to get rid of their tagger before.
Yeah.
That's what they do. That's what the dirty things you have to get rid of your
133353, inappropriate times that you've...
Let rip.
Embarrassing times you've let rip. You know, I'm cursed because I don't, you know, I don't do it often. But the number of times you think, oh, I'm safe, I'll sneak one out, and the next minute the door opens and a girl comes over to talk to you. And
like Alice when she walks in to the studio.
You know, it's safe now. I'll be safe. And then next minute the boss's secretary walks in and goes, oh, the boss needs it. And she goes, gee.
See, the problem with me, it's I can't actually smell. So I don't know if I've done if it's no good or not.
Yeah. We can tell
it's risky business.
We can let you know. Don't worry.
It's risky business.
6:53.
Yeah, we're talking about where have you farted after Gary Anderson, the two-time world champion, has been accused of farting in the wrong space. They were playing the Grand Slam of Darts, but some have renamed it the Grand Slam of Farts at the moment. So
dirty tactics.
Where have you farted? Let's go to Salisbury Park. G'day, Jason.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, mate, I haven't really told many people this, but I've heard you guys talking about it, so I thought... stuff and I'll give it a go.
Uh-huh.
So I was pretty young, like, you know, 10, 11 years old, playing cricket in Hectorville for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And had all the parents and the kids down there and whatever, and we were fielding. And someone's knocked one down the boundary, so I've gone chasing after it. I'd had a sore gut that day, but, you know, I wasn't really expecting anything of it. I've got it just before I hit the boundary, leant down, picked it up, and I knew I had to sort of toss it as quick as I could back towards the wicketkeeper. As I've turned around and given it a full belt, I've just let, like, the loudest, biggest one rip that you've ever heard, two metres away from all the parents and the kids, and they've just all burst out laughing. I'm mortified, you know, but I've got to run back towards, you know, the wicket, and, it was just shocking. Everybody on the field was laughing at me. It was, not good fun.
Sometimes when you use a fair bit of energy, like throwing or whatever, you just can't help it.
I hope you feel better now, Chase.
Yeah, you've got that off your chest.
You've been sitting on that for a while. Right, more calls in just a moment. Taking your calls on the fact that Gary Anderson has dropped his guts on stage to put his opponent off to win the World Darts Championship.
Yeah, the Grand Slam of Farts. Let's go to Blakeview. G'day, Michael.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good, Michael. What do you got for us?
So when we were growing up, we used to go shopping a bit with our grandma, our old Uma, and she just, like, let him rip down, like, the Woolies aisles. But the worst thing about it was you're in the fruit and veg section, you know, you smell the beautiful fruit, and there'd be this awful smell getting around, and it was old Uma. She'd just be letting them go. It was so embarrassing, and people just looking around like, who is doing that? You know, we're trailing behind Uma. She's probably, everyone's thinking, oh, it must be the kids, but it was bloody old Nana. She's bloody just getting going.
What's an Uma? What nationality is that from?
German.
German. Good on you, Michael. All right, good on you, Uma.
A bit of German sausage, too.
Let's go to Elizabeth Downs. G'day, Carol.
How you going, guys?
Good, Carol.
We were on a flight on the way back from Hobart last week, and the other half decides he's got colitis, so, you know, it's just one of those things. He's really rotten. And we're sitting there. We haven't even taken off, and he's in the middle seat,
smell just appears
all around the plane,
and
these people are staring at each other, going, who is it? And this happened three or four times during the flight, This man in front of us, put with his earphones in, oblivious to all the stuff going on behind him, puts his arm over his head, and this waft of BO goes right through. And Barry's going, it's him, and looked around to everyone, it's him, right? And they're all going, oh, like he's awful. Yeah. On the way through the tunnel as you're getting off the plane, he leans over and he said, it was really me.
Oh, gee, Carol. All right, we're no good on a plane.
No,
I
but I've got to say, Ru, good to do it on a plane, I reckon, because there's safety.
What do you mean?
Well, there's that many people around you.
If you're trying
to
get away with it.
Yeah, no one knows. Good safety in numbers
there. Oh, God. Let's go to Parafield Gardens. G'day, Ash.
G'day, how are we?
Good, Ash.
Yeah, back in 2014, when I was living in Queensland.
Yep.
We're all working for the SES. It was halfway through your storm season. And I've been in there about 2 or 3 days. You know, you have to sleep in the place, eat in the place. You don't get to leave, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I've eaten shakes, bacon and cheese shakes.
Right.
And I've let one rip, and I have cleared my entire SES shed one go.
There's a new amount.
Everyone ran out.
Everyone, no. I'm renowned for clearing areas and basically killing small animals.
Wow. That is an emergency
the worst
when that happens.
About it is we went to a job about an hour later, and we're all in the back of a trooper carrier. There's about six of us, and I did it again.
Mm.
And small confined space, dense smell. Killed everyone again.
Oh, I reckon you might get touched up if you did that too many times. Let's go to Evanston Gardens. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, guys.
What have you done, Wayne?
I actually had a bad night on the beans one night and, decided on the baked beans. And, decided to get a bit cheeky with the wife and went down the hallway and actually opened up my cheeks and farted and followed through. She watched the whole thing.
No, Wayne.
Right.
No.
I reckon it's time to wrap this segment
up. Yeah, I think this is gone. Yeah.
7:17 here on Triple M, 35 degrees in Adelaide today. Ru, driving in this morning, I was quite amazed. Our overnight program on Triple M, they were taking phone calls about Julian Assange.
Yep.
And every single caller, I mean 100%, our little straw poll here on Triple M, was in favour of Julian Assange.
Well, saying, supporting him.
Yeah, supporting him. Should be released. He should be free to go, and we should think that he's a clever man and, support him. And for those that have forgotten at the moment, he's bailed up inside the Ecuadorian embassy still in the city of London. But his high-profile girlfriend these days, Pamela Anderson, has become involved. Let's first of all hear from Pamela.
Defend your friend and get Julian his passport back and take him back to Australia and be proud of him and throw him a parade when he gets home.
Be proud of him and throw him a parade.
How would they have met?
I've got no idea, don't I?
Mm.
No idea. He looked right in the yellow pages, I think.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, let's hear from... Now, she's very unhappy and upset with our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. Let's hear from him.
I've had plenty of mates have asked me if they could be my special envoy to sort the issue out. With Pamela Anderson.
Now she's hit back and said he's made lewd comments about
smutty.
Me. He's smutty and all this sort of thing. So a little argy bargy between her and our Prime Minister.
Mm.
Now, Ru, my take on this is that spying is illegal, and there'll be people listening saying, "Hang on, he's not a spy." Well, it is akin to spying, as far as I'm concerned. He hacked into U.S. classified information. We're talking the highest echelons of the military and the defense over there in the U.S. There are those that are saying, but it's freedom of speech. So there are two schools of thought. One of us would say, oh, it's spying and he's hacked into illegal documents here or classified documents. And there are those that are saying, but hang on, whatever happened to freedom of speech? Now, you and I, as you know, in this day and age, you and I could get some 16-year-old kid who's a freak with computers and say, mate, sit here now. I want you to hack into 5AA's breakfast radio show, and I want to get all their secrets. What do they do?
Yep.
Or vice versa, they could do that to us.
Yep.
Or, you know, and these are silly examples, I know, but you in the pub industry, you work for the Hurley Group, which is a large organisation. What if the Fay Hotel Group said, well, let's just hack into the Hurleys and see what they do? That's what happens. If you say freedom of speech is okay, do we all just start hacking into each other?
Cheating
and finding out classified information. You know, if it's a year 12 exam, do I just hack into things and get all the information? If you're good enough to do
it. And get away with it.
So do you then say, oh, that's just a clever kid? Or do you say, no, actually, we need to have laws in place to stop this?
Yep.
So, and I can go on and on. If I walk down the road and I see a Porsche parked there, if I know how to break into that Porsche and steal it, does it mean I should be able to do it? No, of course it doesn't. So therefore, if you know how to hack into computers, there should still be a law against...
Well, he's also putting lives at risk,
He's putting lives at risk and governments at risk. And he's
countries,
threatening,
world.
Yeah, he is. He's putting world peace at risk. And if you think that's an exaggeration, well, then you're obviously a believer in we should just be able to do anything, and it's all about freedom of speech. So is there a fine line? Is it spying or is it freedom of speech?
So why do you think all the people were in support of him then?
Well, that's what I'm keen to know. I'd love to open the phones up now. 133353. Honestly, on our overnight program, like Pamela Anderson said, bring him home, make him a hero for exposing all of this stuff, and give him a parade. Well, I don't know. I just don't know. I think there's something terribly wrong about what Julian Assange has done.
Are all the people that rang up and said he's doing things right, are they the same people that think police shouldn't dress up to pinch you on using undercover mobile phones? Yeah.
Undercover.
The you same might sort of people?
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. But, you know, during the US election, he hacked into Hillary Clinton's account and exposed stuff about her. Now, I don't know, how do we all benefit from that, and should he be allowed to do that? Yeah. Is that freedom of speech when you hack into our own personal?
No, I don't think it is.
All right, 133353. And where does it end? What if you could start knocking off our bank accounts? And 133353. What do you think, Julian Assange? Should we be supporting this fella? Pamela Anderson's having a crack at our Prime Minister Scott Morrison for not helping Julian Assange. And as I said, Rue, a lot of phone callers to Triple M overnight were really in support of him, coming out in support in a big way.
Let's go to Mile End. What do you think, Gus?
Oh, how you going, boys? You all right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, no, I reckon Julian Assange is doing the right thing. I reckon he's probably got a whole group of, workmates behind him that choose whether the information should be leaked and what shouldn't be leaked. And I think that he does that because the things that are going on are so corrupt and so bad. I mean, take the stuff that was happening in Iraq, for example. You know, the US military dropping bombs on innocent people and laughing and joking about it. And the whole culture behind it, I believe that it was his self-righteousness that made him stand up and felt that he had a duty to actually expose what was going on. I mean, the Year 12 exam is a bit different. I mean, he's not going to, there's some secrets that do need to be kept. But, that's why he works with a whole team to decide what should be leaked and what shouldn't.
All right, Gus, I can see what you're saying. But I guess that's where we could fall into dangerous territory. Who makes that decision on what should be leaked and what shouldn't? You know, what's really classified and what isn't? Because these guys are so clever, they will hack into anything, won't they?
Well, they can. But the thing about Julian Assange is he is predominantly a journalist. And he started off as a journalist.
Right.
And believed in freedom of speech and believed that some secrets shouldn't be kept. And you're right, it is dangerous territory. There should be a committee that's set up to regulate over certain corporations and government bodies that become too knowledgeable and too powerful and then use that knowledge and power for bad.
Good on you, Gus.
Yeah, good call. Thanks, Gus. More calls in just a moment. 133353. What's your opinion on Julian Assange? Give us a ring. 133353.
Well, let's go to Elizabeth. G'day, Joe.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thanks, Joe.
Just letting you know, I work in IT and I've seen a lot of documentaries on that sort of thing. And with Julian Assange, he's yes and no in the wrong. Google has a lot more power. I've seen a documentary, a lot more power than what a lot of people think.
Right.
There's a lot of places in Europe trying to sue Google, but they've got too much money. They hold so much information on everybody. That they're educating children over there to use a thing called, like a browser called DuckDuckGo, and to also encrypt your emails, things like that. So a lot of what he gets, anybody can get, and it's good. Like if you and I were to start a company like Google and get so big with so much information, we wouldn't be allowed to do it today. It's just that they happen to be in the right place at the right time, and there's nothing they don't have as far as information goes.
Joe, without getting too technical, because I know nothing about computers, but I just presumed that Google really replaced us having a set of encyclopedias. So you're saying it's much more expansive than that?
Data collection.
Yeah. You would think. I mean, I Google everything, because that's where a lot of information is. But there's a lot of too much information there.
Yeah.
And there are corporations in Europe that are trying to stop Google. Google go to court, pay the fines, and away they go and they keep going.
Can you give me an example? What sort of things would they find on Google that perhaps we shouldn't?
Anything. Pretty much anything that goes on the internet, Google's got. They've stored that information.
Right. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Let's go to Para Hills. G'day, Darren.
How you going?
What do you think about Julian Assange?
Well, I think they should throw away the key.
Right.
Right.
Right. Revoke his passport. Keep it revoked. Now, there are, as the last two callers have said, you know, like, there's, like, with Google having a lot of information, and then with Julian Assange, now, there are already government bodies and that to oversee what information should be allowed out. We shouldn't have anyone else doing that. That's a total invasion of privacy.
Yep.
And it's also criminal with what they are releasing.
Yeah.
There are things that we don't want out there that should not be released.
Yep, I would have thought so. Yeah, all right. Good call, Darren. Thank you. Let's go to Barbara Nuriupu. G'day, Barbara.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Barb.
Basically, hacking is illegal, and they're going on about his right to speak, free speech. What about people's right to privacy?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't argue that.
No, I think you've put it very well. Thanks, Barbara.
And if he's deciding what he lets out or not, then, you know, who's to say he's right?
Yeah, we put him in charge.
Yep.
We made him judge and jury of this whole situation.
Yes, lock him up, dits.
Yeah. Hang on, apparently we've got to go to Max at Morfordville.
Oh,
g'day, Max.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, Julian Assange, he actually worked for the NSA in America, in the base at Hawaii. And he was the one that actually helped build the system to spy on their own citizens.
Yep.
So that's sort of how this whole thing came about. He was working on it, and they were standing up in Congress and telling everyone that it wasn't happening. And he was helping building it. And he's like, no, this is happening. And he couldn't handle it anymore. Mm. That's why he took all the information to journalists. He didn't just expose it himself. He took it to journalists first and let their journalistic integrity, because he wasn't sure what to do with the information himself, so he gave it to them to publish properly without putting anyone in harm's way.
Yeah.
But
Max, I still get the feeling that's probably not his decision, nor is it the right thing to do, though, is it?
Well, if they're standing up in Congress and telling the American public that they're not spying on their citizens, and they are, and it's wrong, then...
Mm-mm. Yeah, I can see your side of it.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, thanks, Max. Nah, good point of view.
Ruined dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Yeah.
Oh, here he is, a quacking comedian. He's applauding himself all the way in.
Someone's got who did. Yes. Someone's got who. Hey, guys, let me just have a stab at something, okay?
Right.
I'm going to do an impersonation of your morning meeting this morning before the show.
Okay.
Right-o. Okay. All right, team, what are we going to talk about on the show today? Well, let's just do farts and Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
There you go. There's 3 hours worth right there.
And then we'll get Lemo on.
Then we'll get Lemo on to discuss both topics.
I'm not sure where he fits in the scheme of those
first, second, or third, but you're in the top three anyway.
Yeah, you'd be a good darts player too, Lemo.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Because you have to be when you come from the country.
I've had plenty of practice.
Yeah, bloody oath. Are you left-hander or right-hander?
A right-hander.
Okay.
Yeah. Right-hander. Not much good with the... Get out of the way if I'm shooting with the left.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's not safe anywhere. and then you guys are talking about Julian Assange.
Yeah.
I, whether he should stay or whether he should be released...
What do you
think? I think he should stay where he is, because as soon as sunlight touches his skin, he will catch fire.
He's very white.
He has been in an embassy for way too long. He's almost translucent. Yeah. He's so vitamin D deficient.
He's got the nightclub tan, hasn't he?
He really has. He really has. But Pammy loves him.
A good question came up earlier this morning. How would they have met? Like, he's been bunged up inside the Ecuadorian embassy. Does she visit there on a regular basis or something?
I guess she... It does take visitors. I've spoken to Kathy Lett before. You guys have probably interviewed Kathy Lett at some point. She's the author of Puberty Blues way back in the day, but a great Australian author. She lives in London. And she's really good mates with Julian Assange. In fact, he lived at her house for a while.
Right.
So she regularly visits him in the embassy and takes people with her to go and... So he's got guests rolling through there all the time. And I guess if Pammy rolls in once, you'd do your best to invite her back.
Probably.
For a second visit. So, so they've clearly struck up some sort of friendship there. And the other topic, of course, guys, are farts. Well, This went on for about 2 hours on the show. Hey, I enjoy it, Roo. The Mark Bickley story is a ripper.
True story.
A true story about him farting and look costing you guys the prelim in 1993.
Cost the premiership, probably.
And some a little fact you missed out on that story, his fart was actually named in the best for Essendon that day.
Mark Bickley's backside.
I think would have picked up Brownlow votes if it wasn't final series.
Should have got a premiership medal around its neck, the fart.
It was so thick they couldn't fit it around it.
It came second.
Welcome to the stage. Number 26.
The fart. Here it comes. Clear path.
Well played.
You know, they say, so you got Gary Anderson and Wesley Harms, the two darts players.
Mm.
If people are just catching up on this, one of them farted and neither is owning up to it.
Mm. Apparently it could have been someone in the crowd, apparently.
Could have been the ref.
How do you carry out the investigation, by the way? It's really difficult to find who's responsible. But I've got a theory on this. Wesley Harms is 34.
Yep.
Gary Anderson is 47.
That's right.
If you're going to point the finger at someone, it's the 47-year-old.
I don't think you can discriminate by age for farting.
Oh, no, Roo. Trust me. You're clearly haven't crossed the threshold yet like I have, and I'm sure Ditz has as well.
What are you getting worse?
The involuntary farts appear at a rate of knots, mate. I'll tell you.
Hey, who said it was involuntary? Yeah.
If dogs are anything to go by, Limo, try having an old dog. And it just happens all day, every day. It's horrendous. No.
Is it like your dog's just got a permanent leak?
Oh, we're going through this at the moment. No, I'm serious.
No.
Oh, yeah. This just started.
And you still
happening.
Let it sleep on your bed.
Yeah. Well, then I've got someone to blame. This is just this has just started happening out of the blue. It's just all the time. It's
does he
terrible.
Sort of look at you when he does it?
No, just they can oblivious.
They're shameless dogs. They're like really old people. They just don't care.
Yeah.
Happily fart everywhere. I've noticed it myself. I'm down at the dog. Speaking of dogs, down at the dog park, I'm throwing the ball for our dog. And there's a little crowd gathered around, as there always is at the dog park. Yeah. And I thought, I'll give this one a little extra. So I heave the ball. And with the effort, I just pop out this little ripper.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what one of our callers did when he was 10 years old.
Throwing a ball. No good. Another one. I'm getting out of the couch. Too much effort. But the worst one, though, is I've done this in a meeting where I've sneezed and the sneeze is pushed out. Yeah.
Well, I've done that. I did that in the car the other day. Anyway.
I'm on Limo's side. It has now been 2.5 hours of talking about farting. Yeah. It really has.
Anything about schoolies, Limo?
Have you got anything else for us?
Hey, schoolies. Schoolies is on at the moment. Now, Ditz, you didn't do schoolies, did you? Was it a thing back in the 1800s?
Surely that's only been the last 10 to 15 years, hasn't it?
I did schoolies. That was 1986.
Did you?
Yeah. We went down to Victor Harbour. But it wasn't called schoolies. It was just, we just went for end-of-year drinks.
Yeah, it was still going down to Victor.
So we went down to Victor, though, a whole bunch of us. But there was no social media. It was so hard to get in trouble back in the day. It's the social media kills them these days. Back in the day, if you wanted to send an inappropriate photo to someone, you had to take the photo, finish the roll of film, take it into a chemist, wait 3 days, go back to the chemist, then get the photo, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and post it to someone.
That's what happened last week.
You'd have to, this day and age, say, I want 8,000 copies of that, please. Wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Cost you a bit.
Spread it around everyone.
Good work,
so I say to the kids, put social media away during school.
No phones, please.
Good advice. No. All right, thanks, Limo.
Good on you guys.
Good on you, Limo. 753. Hey, Roo, there's something massive happening at Glenelg. I can't believe this. The World Surf Lifesaving Championships are in Adelaide. This is big. I reckon, and we all love our surf lifesavers, don't we?
It's
a real Absolutely. Australian thing. Well, they are from all over the world, and they're in Glenelg right now. We'll find out more next. Roo, I just mentioned a moment ago about the big event happening at Glenelg. Being a proud South Australian, I love it when these massive events come here.
Yeah, very lucky.
And they got some good weather for it yesterday and today. Now, a man who knows all about this, we're talking about the state president, and he's also vice president of Surf Life Saving Australia, a mate of ours, John Baker. G'day, John.
G'day, Ditz. How are you?
Good.
Hey, John.
Hey, John, how many competitors are down at Glenelg and how many countries involved?
Yeah, it's actually biggest World Championships ever. We've got over 7,000 participants.
7,000.
And from 44 nations. Yep. So it's actually the biggest championships ever. And it's, comparable with things like the Commonwealth Games in terms of size. with number of participants. So it's a really big event.
So I take it that means that our hotels right around Adelaide are full of all of these competitors from everywhere, or are they all staying down in the West Beach Caravan Park? Where are they all?
Yeah, there's a few of them crammed into the West Beach Caravan Park, but all the accommodation is completely booked out down here at Glenelg. But they're staying as far away as, far away in Adelaide terms, but Unley. We've got a lot of competitors staying in town, so there's full capacity down here in terms of just all the rooms and bed nights, which is great.
How's it all going? How's the competition?
Actually, it's good, Ru. We've had the pool competition down at the SA Aquatic Centre started on Friday, and then we've got the open water events and beach events starting today down at Glenelg. So we're basically into full swing now. Everything's going really, really smoothly.
All right. Now, we've seen grandstands down on the beach, so you're expecting big crowds. What is coming up next weekend? Is that a good, like Saturday, Sunday, have you still got big events happening then? Is that a good time to come down?
Yeah, in fact, that would be ideal because members of the public are welcome. There's plenty of sort of food and there's wet areas, so we've got bars, we've got, stores, merchandise, but the public can come down and sit in any of the grandstands on the beach. And it's a great setup because we've got grandstands facing the water and then we've got grandstands facing the beach. So people can sort of watch beach events and then sort of walk over the other side and watch ocean events. So competition's going to be full all of this week and doesn't finish until the 2nd of December. So there's a
2nd of December?
It's 2 weeks.
Right.
Wow. So we've got all the national teams competing this weekend, and then next week is all the interclubs. So I've got 344 clubs from around the world.
Brilliant.
Wow. Any gun South Australian kids?
Yeah, we've got some really, really great athletes from Seacliff and West Beach who will be competing. We've obviously got the traditional tussle and battle for overall champion between Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Kiwis have had the sort of drop on us over the last two world champions.
Have they?
But, and a lot of the Kiwis.
They don't even have beaches over there, John. What's going on?
No, well, they all come out here. So they all go up to New South Wales and Gold Coast. And they all train up there.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be big. And the only other point I was going to make is we're expecting about a sort of $22 million windfall for the South Australian economy. So it's
right.
it's a really good return for a government who have been obviously big supporters of the event. But it's going to be great just from an economic point of view.
Now, is it free for people to head down to the beach and watch?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people just need to come down.
There
are clearly sort of signed areas, it's a great atmosphere. So we've got, there's a lot of people, as I said before. But, people can just wander down, get in the grandstands, enjoy the day. So there's plenty of food and drink.
And, John, if I get into trouble in the water, there are 7,000 lifesavers down there to help me out.
I wouldn't risk it, mate, because most of them are concentrating on competition.
Oh, so fair enough.
They'll be figured out themselves.
All right.
It's probably the perfect day for you to go for a swim, dude.
No, that's right. Yeah. Good on you. Thanks, John. John Baker, state president here in South Australia. And that's a big event, 7,000 people down there competing, plus all of their families watching and everything. How good's that for South Australia?
Yeah, absolutely huge.
8:47, Roo and Dits here on Triple M on this Monday morning, 35 in town today. Roo, the most watched show on TV, and rightly so. Have you been paying attention? Tommy Gleisner joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Roo and Dits. Nice to be with you again.
And congratulations with the success of this. It's just getting better and better every year, and you have such good panellists, don't you?
We do. We draw from a rich field of radio presenters. Have you noticed just about every one of our best contestants basically sort of holds down a radio shift?
Right. Well, we're about to drag the standard down right now.
Yeah, okay.
It's the season finale, I think, isn't it? Tonight,
It is indeed.
8:30 on Channel 10. And Tom, just to get everyone in the mood, we'll be your little, contestants.
What are we on the show?
We're your contestants right now, so throw some questions at us, all right?
Yeah, well, let's treat this as a radio audition, okay?
Okay,
and we'll,
right.
You know, for next year, we're always looking for new talent.
I'm on
okay,
edge,
here we go. Let's use your names as your buzzers, and we'll kick off with some showbiz.
Right.
Channel 9's The Voice have announced the new judge for next year. Who is it?
Dits.
Yep.
Sid Vicious.
Would be interesting.
I'm just thinking, they've gone with Boy George before, they've gone with the Madden brothers. It's only fitting and right that it would be Sid or Johnny Rotten.
I thought it could have been.
I like your thinking.
Tex Walker, maybe.
Tex Walker.
Tex would have been good.
A little close at home. Nice thinking, but not particularly accurate. And I can't pay that. In fact,
who is it?
Mr. Guy Sebastian will be spinning in his chair. Yeah, all right. Okay,
no,
so we're
be good, Guy. Yep.
We're none from none.
Another good South Australian.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Okay, tough week for Rebel Wilson. What did she lose?
Root. She didn't lose any weight.
Root.
Oh, how dare you? She lost her phones and she couldn't ring Uber Eats.
Let's move away from that end of the pool. Think more. Let's talk courtroom.
Yes,
and
Bauer Media.
Oh, Bauer Media.
$4 million or something, wasn't it?
Very technical. Yes, she didn't get. She tried to appeal to get the money, didn't get it.
Now, what happened there? I thought she got awarded a few million bucks going back a while. Mm, and now she's lost it, has she?
Yeah, well, then it's complicated and it involves lots of men in wigs. So let's not go into that.
Yeah.
But
Indian givers. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, now we've got an audio clue, so listen carefully. Okay. Well, it's that time of year again.
25,000 excited teenagers are descending on the Gold Coast for a...
What?
Descending on the Gold Coast for... Roo?
The Australia v South Africa T20 game that was up there the other day.
You'd love to think so, wouldn't you? Kids getting into international cricket.
Have to be
sadly,
schools,
no.
It?
Yeah, we know. It's
it had to be. And the fact that you knew that makes you a toolie. So yes, that's kind of.
Thank you very
that's
much.
That's kind of scary.
We're happy to own up to that.
I'm beating you at the moment.
Good day. You are in front.
Mm.
All right.
Is that right? Okay, well, this will bring it back. A bit of royal news. Prince Charles celebrated a milestone last week. What was it?
Dits.
Apparently, well, Sam Pang told me this, that Prince Charles celebrating the fact that he's officially half your age at the moment, Tom.
Do not listen to Pang. He's an idiot. He's a fool. No, it was birthdays.
Was he having his ears pinned?
Interesting. Now, that would be a big procedure. Roo, what do you reckon?
I turned
give me a
70.
Name.
I saw that. Was that what it is?
You got it. Well done. All right.
I'm
chaining you at the moment. It's 3-1.
Mm. All right. Oh, well, can we call this the tiebreaker if I make it double points? This is our final question. This is the tiebreaker. It's for double points, and we'll stay with the Royals. 92-year-old Queen Elizabeth amazed many on the weekend by doing what?
Dits?
Yes?
riding Prince Philip through the grounds riding a horse it was, sorry. Through the grounds of Windsor Castle.
How dare you talk about
a
queen
confused.
Like that?
Apparently, that's what she calls Philip Horse.
It's a nickname. She says you want to go for a ride, darling.
She was riding a horse at the age of 92 through the grounds of Windsor Castle.
I don't think she knew she was. She was heavily sedated.
Tell her. Someone should tell her she's actually got drivers. They're happy to take her around.
Of course, she does.
Rocking horse
and Range Rovers. All right, we're going to call good that a tie. You guys are both on the list for next year's show.
Good on you, Tom. Now it's on tonight. The season finale. Have you been paying attention? It is massive on Australian television. Channel 10 tonight at 8:30. Tom Gleisner, thanks a lot.
Good on you. Thanks, Roo. Thanks,
Dan. Good luck, mate. Have a good show.
Well done. 8:52, Roo and Dits on Triple M.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want. Triple M.